Welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes, a podcast hosted by me, Natalie Torres-Adad, an international award-winning author, two-time TEDx speaker, and investor, along with Vera Egli, an investor, sales and marketing pro, and multi-language podcaster. We will share the tips and tricks from interviews with self-made entrepreneurs, leaders, and those who have attained financial freedom while learning financial literacy in multiple languages. Hello, hello. Welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes. I'm Natalie Torres-Haddad, and I'm here with Vera Egli.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello. And today we actually have a really special guest. I am so thrilled to have her on here. I've been talking to her for a few years now. I'm like, I have to have you on the podcast. I first met her in LA. We were both speakers at Girl Boss Conference. And this lady is the definition of a girl boss. And just because not only does she have an incredible business, her worth ethic, but the way that she works with people, the way she collabs with other women, and really the empowerment that she does for women is just incredible. You've probably seen her on CNBC or Forbes, you know, people to follow. I mean, she's definitely a woman powerhouse, and always, I think I'm always seeing her winning some kind of recognition for her work, because she's been doing this for many decades. And it's just, she's someone that I admire. I like to think of not only someone that I always think about, but I even had to wear my Be the Unicorn headphones, because she really is like that unicorn in the room where you're like, oh my gosh, I want to be like her. So for no further ado, welcome to our podcast. We have here Kathy Eswistel, and she'll tell us a little bit more about the Money Box, because I'm already a fan of it. And I know many, many, many people that are listening to this are going to also be a fan of it. So welcome.
Thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be here, and I absolutely adore you and everything you do as well. You're an inspiration to all of us. So again, it's an honor to be here, and thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you. And we're just going to go right into the first question I'd like to ask everyone. Do you remember the first time that you got paid that made you think like, oh my gosh, I have some opportunities, some options, because I'm making good money?
Yeah. I mean, I guess it could be one of two things. It could be way back when I was babysitting and I was getting paid back then, it was a dollar an hour, and you would just save your money up and put it away. And then that was like my fun money, and I could either spend it or save it. And for whatever reason, I liked to put it away and save it and like not spend it. So I always had it as a cushion. So I guess that was my first emergency fund. The other time, I still have my very first like real job paycheck after I finished school and had my first job. And that first paycheck I kept, and of course, everyone thinks, oh, I'm making a certain amount of money. And then you realize, oh, they're taking all these things out of my paycheck. What is that? So it was my reminder that, you know, you give and you get, and you have to plan accordingly.
Oh, I love that.
That is so true. And I just have a quick question, because you said like somehow I just saved it. Why did you just save it? Did you have like, did it start at home, you know, where your parents were like, you should save money, or you just had like a natural inclination towards, I need an emergency fund, and you're like 12 years old?
Yeah, I think I was probably about 12 years old. And, you know, we all have our own little money stories. And I'd say that's the crux of what we all have to look at and start talking about. Like, talking about money is so powerful, and sort of going back and looking at your youth and how you grew up around money, I also think is super powerful, because it's how we relate to money today. So I also do remember being at the local bank with my grandparents when I was 6 or 7 years old, and literally putting dimes into the pig for the piggy bank. There were little slots, and then we would bring it to the bank and put it away. And my grandparents would show me how the money would grow as I continued to put it away. So I think there was a little bit of that. I think there was probably a few times where I spent my babysitting money and I was like, ooh, I don't really have anything for that. And then I just thought, well, let me just like sort of put it together and see if I can see it grow. Like I saw the money grow, you know, back with my grandparents. So that's like life experience, I think, really has an impact on us.
That's a good story. Right? Yeah. We all have to hear how people start off, because not everyone grows up around that, right? Like having that, not only your parents or your grandparents showing you the way, but just having that conversation of like, this is what you're going to do with your first money. And I always think about, you know, Vera and I played the game, and we're, you know, pulling out the cards. And one of the questions that stuck out to me was, how did your family view money growing up? And so do you think your views have changed, or have they added on to what you learned as early as you did, or you're just saying with your first deposits into the bank?
Yeah, I think my views have definitely, you know, changed over time. So for example, as a 12-year-old, all I knew was that I could save money, but we have to eventually realize we can also invest money. So that has, you know, morphed into something bigger. I would also say I actually grew up a few times with scarcity. And I think, you know, whether your family thought about money when you were younger, probably when someone talks about money today, your shoulders shrug up and, you know, you get tight because the stress of them fighting, like that's what money meant to you. Or for me, I can clearly remember, and I've told this story before, being in third grade and seeing the most beautiful winter coat I had ever seen in my life. Now, when I grew up, it was like dark blue, navy, like snorkel coats. So this was beautiful yellow, bright yellow and orange and pink. And it was just so beautiful. So I wanted that coat. And I said, Mom, is there any way, you know, I'd love that coat this winter. And she just looked at me and she kind of had like this uncomfortable look on her face. She goes, honey, we can't afford that. And I was like, what? You know, that was my first time. Like, wait, what do you mean we can't afford that? Like, what does that mean? So that was like a hard feeling because I had friends who, you know, their parents would take them shopping at the Gap and they'd get 10 pairs of corduroys. So I was just trying to understand that, you know, what is money and how do we use it for our benefit? And how do we, you know, also take good care of it for our future? Mm-hmm. And I would say the other time that that happened to me was when I was a home from work. I was like a stay-at-home mom for a few years, like 12. And I had to ask my husband for permission to spend money. And I was like, whoa, this is terrible. Like, I don't like that feeling. So I'm like, you need your own money, girl. Like, you need to go out and build your own stockpile so that if you want to get a manicure, if that's really what's important to you, you can. Or if you want to invest in a company that you believe in, you can. And so I think having your own money is very empowering and really important.
That actually triggered something in me because not in a bad way, just it triggered a memory because I moved to Switzerland when I married my husband, who is Swiss, and I had some savings that I went with, but Switzerland is a very expensive country and they went very fast and I didn't have a job yet. And so that whole thing of having to ask for money when you've been so used to, you know, not having to do that, that was a rude awakening. And I felt the same way. I was like, nope, I need to get my own money. Even though, you know, you can share your finances with your partner, but it just feels good to know that that's mine. I do with it what I want, you know, being respectful of like, if you have a budget in place. So yeah, I totally felt that wave, like that feeling of like, oh my God, I can't believe I have to ask for this.
Yeah, that's a great story too. And eventually, like our history molds who we are today, and it sort of makes us make these decisions better. I also had a dad who had three daughters. And so fortunately for me, he was like, you can do anything you want. You just have to put your mind to it. And when I was going to college, I literally did not know what I wanted to do. We did the testing, you know, what are you good at? What do you like? And I said to my dad, I just don't know what I should do. And he said, Kathy, if you study finance, you can do anything when you understand numbers. So go and study finance. And regardless of what you do in your career, you'll understand it better because you understand the numbers behind it. And I did. It's good advice.
And that's such great advice even today, because there's still a few women compared to men that are in finance, right? Study economics or anything that has to do with numbers. That's amazing advice.
Yeah, it's so true. And in fact, you know, way back when after school and I, you know, I did finance, I loved it. I went to graduate school. I got my master's in finance and I was talking to some of my friends and they were like, I was like, oh, so like, what are you doing with your money? What are you investing in? How are you like growing it? And they're like, oh no, I don't do that. Like my husband does that. He's, you know, he's been doing it for years. And it's just not my thing. And I was like, okay, we need to change this. This is an issue. And I've been around the block a few times. So this is in like the 90s, late 90s. I went to my local Y and I said to them, like, look, I think women need to learn about their money. And I would love to volunteer and teach a course on like women and money or women and investing or something like that. And they said, okay, we'll try it. We'll see if anyone's interested. And I had 40 women show up on the first day of class. So I was like, yeah, I think we have people who are interested.
Of course they are.
It's the need, it's there, you know? And you just said you've been seeing this change for a few decades and it's still, we still need a lot of work, right? And I think the most beautiful thing about you is how open you are about your journey, because you don't claim that you knew from the start or that you've made mistakes along the way. And I still remember how we met too, because we were in the green room getting ready. You know, there's someone's doing my makeup and the lady that's doing my makeup, she's like, is that lady, is she famous? Cause I see her on TV. I'm like, oh, you probably see her on CNBC. It's just so cool. And then talking to you. And I felt like I was just talking to someone I've known forever, because you were saying, you know, as women, we don't see very much, many of us in this space, even at this conference, very few of us were actually talking about money and let alone wanting to talk about those taboo subjects. And it was kind of like, yes, the unicorn in the room. And I have to get a shout out to Kathy, because she also went out of her way to help us when I was in New York for another work event. And she, with her connections, she hooked us up with the space. And I think I always think about like, who are people that really go out of their way to say, you know what, I have the platform, you can use it. And I think and we had such an incredible turnout, sold out space. And it was just beautiful to be able to, and this venue is just beautiful too. But I think about women that know another women that are doing incredible things. And guess what? They bring more money to it. And just when you started telling me about the money date box, I thought, that's exactly what we have to have some of these conversations, you know, and you and I've spoke to you privately a few weeks ago, and we always have something going on in our lives, whether it's good or bad. And sometimes we need some kind of an outlet to kind of have those conversations. So can you tell us a little bit kind of like the journey that made you want to create something like this? Because it's definitely needed and it's still not in the market yet.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I started as a volunteer teaching classes on investing, and all of these women would come to my course. They'd be like, hey, can you explain this to me? I don't understand this. Can you tell me what my statement says? You know, my husband's broker only talks to him, or that my guy talks over my head. And I was like, oh my goodness. Like, of course I'm happy to explain it to you. And they're like, can we work with you? I'm like, oh no, no, no. I don't do this for a living. I just volunteer. And I was like, you know what? That was my aha moment. This is needed. We need more women in finance. We need women speaking a language that we're comfortable with and everybody can understand. And we're not trying to impress anyone to talk over their head. We're trying to empower them to really build a strong relationship with their money and then make smart decisions for themselves. Right. And that's what we're doing. So over the last 5 or 10 years, I've spoken to a lot of groups, as you have, who are younger women in their 20s, 30s, and even their young 40s. And they're like, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to start. Nobody ever taught me this. Like, where do I go? Can I afford an advisor? Like, there's all these questions. And I was like, this is like insane that 25 years after I started having these classes, it's still an issue, right? Like we can solve it one person at a time, but how do we scale that across multiple people to give them the information they need? So I just came up with this idea, like what if I put the basic financial foundation in a box and have people access it and give them the tools to get their financial foundation set. The very simple steps, you know, and do it like over the course of a short period of time, 8 weeks, check off the boxes and you're in good shape. And then you can build on that. But at least you have the starting point. And it's from a place where we're just trying to educate you. We're not trying to sell you anything. Like, we just want to give you the tools so you get smarter about your money, you get to make good decisions, and you grow your wealth. And that's it.
And I love what you said about, we're not trying to impress, we're trying to empower. And I think that that's something that I think a lot of people are fearful. Like, are they really trying to teach me something? But it's really just like, this is how you empower yourself. And the money date box is so cool. It's such an amazing idea. And taking a question from the box, I would like to ask you, what keeps you up at night about money? And also, what makes you so happy about it in general?
Yeah, what keeps me up, I think, about money is just the idea that so many people don't have access to it the way they deserve to, right? And to be able to make decisions, because money is not an end. Money is the means to a goal. Like, it's just a tool to help you get to where you want to be. So I think, you know, money for me, I've had many, many, many times in many years where I've worried, do I have enough money to send, you know, our kids to college? Do we have enough money to retire on? And over the years, you know, that helped me be stronger and more disciplined to put money away. So I feel more comfortable about that part, you know, from a personal standpoint. But for, you know, other people, I don't know. I think money is really, it changes people, and it also puts people, you know, on defense or feeling, you know, more like a higher level or a lower level based on their net worth. And that's bad. Like, that is not what we want people to feel. We want them to feel like, I can build my wealth and I can create my own future by just making some really smart decisions and take some simple steps. So it's more about that. And it's a way about, like, how do we democratize financial education for everybody? How do we democratize wealth so everyone has access? And you get to choose, do I want to do the hard work or not? And if you do, you win.
I feel like that's what must make you happy about it, because you're like, how, once we do democratize it, then you're like, my work here is done.
No, that is what makes me happy about it, for sure.
And thank you so much for taking us on your journey with obviously creating something like this that we can use, couples can use, single women can use, or just anyone that just wants to learn about money more and just been having these awkward conversations at time. I think we're going to definitely have to have you back on, because there's still so many topics that we can cover, especially just playing the money box, maybe do a fun raffle would be fun too as well. But thank you so much for being a part of this. And of course, we'll keep you posted on any of the new ones. And we want to have you back, of course. So thank you so much for the time of being and empowering women and really just empowering anyone. So thank you for being the person that you are. So we'll see you all in the next one.
Thanks so much. It was awesome.
Thank you. And please make sure to subscribe and leave your comments and reviews. To learn more about the podcast, check out the website and Instagram, Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes, and watch interviews on YouTube and IGTV. To become a sponsor or hire us for your next workshop or speaking engagement, please visit financiallysavvyin20minutes.com. All it takes is 20 minutes daily to become financially savvy. Music by Nikki and produced by Robert DeLude.